Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. Unfortunately today, no Tomas, no Heath, but I have somebody else for you. Mr. Chris Landry joins me on the show today. Chris, how you doing, man?
David, I'm doing well. How could you not be doing well? It's the heat of summer, but it's football season. You can smell it in the air. Preseason games are starting, college games starting at the end of the year, at the end of the month. So it's here, buddy. It is absolutely upon us.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I've been following the Saints. I mean, those guys, the mental toughness that's being built during the heat of summer, man, I can't imagine. I haven't played high school football in Louisiana for a very long time. But I tell you what, I remember those days, man. It's the heat index is through the roof. And let me get your impression on this real quick. It was a bone that I had to pick about some comments I heard. But some people tend to think that this heat doesn't really, you know, make a difference, as opposed to like the Greenbrier. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it definitely makes a difference. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies on it. I think that there is a belief, you hear this a lot, well, that team's coming up from the north, they're not used to the heat, they're going to really struggle. The reality is everyone has to deal with the heat. Now, certainly those of us that are in it may tolerate it a little bit. We learn how to play golf or fish in the heat, where other people may be more uncomfortable and they wait for cooler days. We don't wait because there are no cooler days in August. It just doesn't happen. The reality is studies show that there's a certain amount that takes out of your body from a hydration standpoint. So it's a bigger challenge to stay hydrated. The whole thing about the lack of toughness being in Greenbrier is the cause of a problem. It's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It just doesn't equate. If anything, you could possibly wear yourself out in the heat. But it's never cushy and cake to be somewhere where it's not as hot. In fact, I think you get more done. You can get more done. It's quite frankly, think of it this way. If you were going to work out yourself, you could probably get more done in your workout if you were indoors in a health club than you would if you were outside on your carport or on the cement where the heat's beating down on you. It's just common sense. Getting used to it is something your body doesn't get used to a great deal. You just have to, in essence, overhydrate to make sure that there's no such a thing as overhydrating, but hydrate extra. So I don't think it creates a toughness or creates a softness, but it is certainly an adjustment that they're having to make. I think there is a continuity, and there's a something that goes when you have the training camp at your facility and you can facilitate all the comforts of everybody being in their environment, that is maybe a little seamless. You lose the, hey, let's go on the road into in a hotel and a dorm room and have that. It's changed a lot. The reality is training camp used to be 8-10 weeks long. You really went there to train. Now it is just practice, very little two-a-days. It's getting ready for the season, and it makes more sense fiscally and from a preparation standpoint to do it at your facility, and that's why a lot of teams do it.
You know, Chris, I was just thinking, now, this is the first time you've joined us as part of the show as opposed to an interview, and I have to be thinking that this must be like the pinnacle of your career. I mean, I'm looking at your bio here. You do NBC Sports nationally. You do 860 The Fan, ESPN 104, 260 WDAE. You must be thinking, man, I've really reached the pinnacle of my career because I am now sitting here with Dave Romero on the BS and Beer Podcast, man. Must be exciting.
It is exciting. You know, it takes a while. It takes a while to work your way up, you know. You got to deal with the Bill Belichicks and the Nick Sabans and being on that staff and those long hours and then, you know, coaching all those years and then working. It does. But you know what? Good things come to those who wait. So, you know, I'm here and the good things are finally happening.
Hey, man, so check this out. the news that I thought was really interesting is Orlando Franklin, the offensive lineman that we signed just, I mean, a few days ago, less than a week ago, released by the Saints. Now, he seemed to me to be a guy that was a quality starting level. You know, you could debate whether it was a, and you'll probably answer this better than I could, but a guy that was a starter quality offensive line, plays a little tackle, plays a little guard, and I thought it was an insurance policy in the event that Ramczyk wasn't capable of holding down the left tackle spot in the event they had to move Pete back. Now, they did get Calamente back, which is a swing guy. Give me your thoughts on Orlando Franklin. I mean, it's kind of the timing of this is really kind of weird to me.
Well, you know, Orlando Franklin was signed, you're absolutely correct, as insurance to be a guy that can play tackle, play guard, and that's what he's been very effective in the league. You go back, and he was a starting tackle for Denver in the 2011 season. The problem is his body has started to break down, and he's not played well for the last 2 years. The film the past 2 years has not been very pretty on him. They knew that, but I think they wanted to kick the tires, and when they kicked it, it wasn't there. And that's why you make a move. There's no sense in keeping a guy, injury possibilities, his body's breaking down. You don't know with 100% certainty whether this guy can help you unless you bring him in. That's why the quick release, but that was the reason and the intent for signing him. It just didn't work out. They'll continue to kind of search for that type of a guy going forward because they do need that type of a role that can fit in due to the depth issues and injury issues.
So, okay, so now relative to Senor Calamente, he's a swing guy. He's in a pinch, played some tackle. Do you think, and I think you've already kind of answered this question, you think that he's a better player than Orlando Franklin was?
Well, I think, yes. I think his body's in better position to play. Yes, his body is not beaten up and broken down as Orlando, and that's the reason why they would go with him. Now, as a tackle, you know, he's not good enough, but again, at this point, neither is Franklin. But of the two, yes, the one guy's body can still perform. The other has really struggled. There's a reason why, you know, they made that the cleaning of the house in San Diego, including Franklin, because, again, his play was really, really poor. Different ends of the spectrum, though. A guy whose body's broken down, a young guy that's a little bit limited athletically as a pass protector, but still has some good football ahead of him.
So speaking of the offensive line, while we're talking about it, have you heard about all these snaps? Apparently, the centers, as a unit for the Saints, they can't even get to the ball back to the quarterback consistently. I mean, at some point, I was thinking that while maybe it's a little bit too early to pull the plug on some of these like guys, Jack Allen would be a guy that I'm thinking about that he can't get the ball back to the quarterback, and I'm thinking, well, you know, they still need bodies. But then I started thinking, if you can't even get plays off consistently where the rest of the team can operate, at what point, how long before a team says, listen, if you can't get the center snap right, we got to get you out of here and get somebody who could at least get the ball to the quarterback?
Very quickly is the answer to that. Succinctly, they've got to get that fixed very quickly. You know, at this point, I think that it's maybe a tad too early. I think that can be fixed quickly. But time is of the essence. And you know, I think it is something that you've got to have a better option, and it's certainly something that you've got to work in unison. It's why we meet every night. You know, in training camp, you have the personnel department, you have the coaching staff meet every night. You go over every player, and you not only get a coaching but a scouting perspective on every player on your team, and you also start looking at other options. Hey, what are other options at center? What can he do? Is he better than who? If you can't answer that question in a positive, that somebody on your ready list is better than what you have, then, you know, it takes talent to replace talent, and you have to sometimes look and see what a Jack Allen has. Can that be corrected? Or are you just bringing in somebody else that has a similar problem and maybe even worse? So I think that is the answer is you've got to get that fixed very, very quickly.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but a little bit later, we have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles coming on to visit with me. He's been at camp. He has some insight, and I'm going to be very interested in seeing what he has to say, and also a disturbing visual of a Saints player in pink stretch pants. Now, don't go away. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast. That's right. We're back. We're the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC. Man, all these TVs, so much going on. If you lived anywhere around here, but I know most of you don't, but if you did, you'd want to be here hanging out with us at the big table with all the TVs, watching the games, and maybe we can even get my buddy Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, who's here with me today. He's a member of the team now. Now, Chris, I like the feel of that better, man. You'd like part of the team as opposed to just visiting every once in a while.
I do. I like that as well. And see if you can't reserve me a table when I come to Kentucky. And
it's a good spot, I'm telling you. You got all the TVs in this one particular area in the back that we like to sit at, me and Tomas and Heath. And we have about 10 or 15. This is like the Saints hot spot for this side of the country, you know, for the, I don't know what you call it, the South. It's almost the North, but whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of the northern part of the South. So that would be maybe the Wildcat Hoodats, maybe.
Gotta
come up with a name.
Yeah, we're gonna have to come up with something clever. But I tell you what, one of the things that I was looking at is it seems to be that we're having a little bit of better play for more linebackers, but as I'm looking at my depth chart, and every week we do a little depth chart analysis, who's going to make it, who's not, it's going to change every week, we're going to talk about it. One of the things I'm looking at, we moved Stephon Anthony to the weak side, and all the reports so far, now we all realize it's early, so we're not trying to write any tickets to the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl or what have you, but once we move Stephon Anthony to the weak side, I don't see where we have a strong side linebacker on the team right now. I just don't see, you know, I know we got Stupar, we got Mahdi, who has played the strong side, but he's not a starting quality NFL linebacker, more of a special teams guy, I would believe.
Well, I think that's true. I think that obviously they have more guys that they've tried to get to be effective as edge defenders. And, you know, the edge defenders, the outside backers, the will backers, the guys that are playing in a two-point stance versus the wide the seven and the wide nine technique rush guys are very similar in terms of body types and styles. But you're correct. I think that guys that can come up, take on, shadow block, fill and scrape as a linebacker are limited. I do think that it's going to be real interesting to see how it develops going forward. Because I think you have some guys that can make plays. Certainly Klein is a mic backer, but I think can do some different things. Teal is a guy that has some ability. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But the ability to be able to play better at the point of attack is something that they need to do because we can talk about the lack of a pass rush with the Saints. But in the same vein, we need to talk about how they don't defend the run well enough. And that's the linebacker play is going to have to step up big time along with the tackles. With the loss of Fairley, they're going to have to play very well as scrape and fill against the run.
Okay, so we talked about defensive line. We talked about playing against the run. You bring up something else that while I am encouraged, I wrote an article. Matter of fact, you can find it at LandryFootball.com. And basically what I was saying is that being a first-round draft pick like Sheldon Rankins, you should expect that you would get, hopefully, and I realize it don't always work like this, first round, fifth round, whatever, but you would expect that the guy would improve on what he did last year, and you would hope that he would get to his next level. Now, the other guy is David Onyemata. Now, you and I have talked about him, but I feel like he has the potential, and he is the guy, in my opinion, that needs to step up his game to fill, because Rankins was going to be on the field whether Fairley was there or not. So who's going to fill Fairley's shoes? And I'm looking at David Onyemata. But after I look at him, I'm not saying he can do it, so that's not really the question. The question to you, Chris, is who else is on the team? Like I'm looking at right now, we have, you know, Tyler Davidson, who's more of a run stopper. But after that, is it just Justin Zimmer? Is it Mayberry? Is it McDaniel? I don't see any of those guys as being an upgrade to the roster, even as a backup.
Well, they don't have really good pass rush skills. Davidson is the answer to the guy that can play in the rotation with Onyemata, and I think it's going to have to be those two guys, and Sheldon will have to be the bell cow guy, and that is a role that, you know, is a little bit different than we anticipated him having to be in, but that's where we are. The reality is, unfortunately, when you have an injury like he did last year, you lose a lot of your ability to develop as a football player because you you know, it's his second year, but it's really not his second year. It's more like his rookie year, Sheldon Rankin. So, sure. You know, when you think about it, you think of the normal progression into the second year, that really doesn't apply with him. That doesn't mean he's not going to play well and he's not going to have to step up and be great. But it is, to me, next year will be the year where, assuming he stays healthy, where he can have kind of that big growth. So it is, listen, it's definitely a big concern. It still is for this team. I also think what you're going to see a lot in nickel situations, you're going to see some of those ends line up, be reduced inside to tackle, and try to be, you know, increase the pass rush. They're going to have right. to do that from a creative standpoint.
They're already working with, let's see, the rookie defensive end has already been moved out, and he's playing right. Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson is a perfect example of a guy that's got some length. That can be an interior pass rusher, and he's going to have to be. There's no question about that, that they're going to need guys like that. And, you know, a guy like Tapp will have to, right. you know, be used in some of that role. And, you know, Okafor, you know, is another guy. Guys like that, you'll see them line up inside some in nickel situations, not in rundowns, though.
Now, Chris, on your site, you've already done all of your training camp previews for all 32 teams. Is that done?
That is done, completely up. We're updating every day what's going on around the NFL and training camps. And certainly as the games are soon to be starting, we're going to break down the games from a preseason viewpoint, not looking at who won it and why. That is not important, but breaking down personnel and breaking down to the teams. We also are going to have updates. You know, for our Saints fans, we're going to have an update on what's going on at camp in detail, position by position, who's doing what. And we're going to do that with all the teams. But obviously for our Saints fans, you want to check that out. And it's one of the reasons why we think it's a great opportunity to be a member of LandryFootball.com. After all, it's like getting your own NFL access to your own NFL scouting department for less than a magazine subscription.
Well, and let me tell the folks who are listening to the show who don't exactly know, Chris Landry was an NFL coach. Who's an NFL scout. He even organized the scouting combine at one point. He's a player personnel consultant for several NFL and college teams. So what you're looking at is when you go there, there are a lot of places you could go and get opinions. But when you go to Chris's site, he's breaking it down like an NFL coach would. So it's really interesting reads. I learn a lot every time I go there. And one of the things, y'all can thank me. You can send me an email. Matter of fact, it's bsandbeer@icloud.com. Thank me. Because I'm the one who's convincing Chris that he needs to spend more time talking about the Saints and writing stuff about the Saints. So whenever you go out there and see more stuff, you can say, oh, Dave helped him out with that. So pushing Chris in that direction.
And if you use the code, Dave, use the code Saints, that'll get you a discount. So make sure when you go there and you say, hey, this is for me. I'm a football fan. I want to win my fantasy league. I want to know more about football. I want to really learn why things happen with the Saints and college football, what have you. That's for me. Use the code Saints, and that'll get you a special discount just for listening to this podcast.
All right. Now, this is important stuff here. Hang on.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
All right. It's breaking news. This is stuff I heard it, and it's been a couple of days now, but I think it's important that we get a professional opinion on this. I find out that Sheldon Rankins is incorporating yoga into his workout. Now, I don't know about you, Chris, but to thinking about Sheldon Rankins, he's about 5'10", about 350. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit to make my joke funnier, but I just can't imagine him back there with some yellow stretch pants on doing downward dog.
No, that's a visual that I'd rather not have. I worked out Sheldon at his workout at Louisville. I'm not quite sure that I would have continued the workout had he had those pants on. But you wonder a little bit. You know, we usually, when they have those yoga-type pants, those odd colors, we usually deduct something off their Wonderlic score.
Some's coming. They're dropping. It's not going to be a whole color grade, though. It won't go from blue to red. It's just a little bit off, right?
Well, you know, red, you know, I can understand red. It's Louisville colors. It makes sense. But, you know, I don't know. The bright yellow or the hot pink. I don't know. Hot pink wouldn't work. For me, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's having to do his own laundry. It faded from red to pink. I don't know. I'm looking for, excuses for it to,
Chris,
to justify it.
I'll be honest with you. That might be a little bit of fake news. That was just imagination, my imagination. He didn't say he was doing that. That's how I saw it in my head. So, I just had to talk about it and get a professional opinion on it. But I tell you what, we're going to hit another break. Then we're going to bring in John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Then after that, we're going to come back and wrap the show up. It's Dave Romero. It's Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, Chris Landry. I'm Dave Romero. And on the line, I have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He's been at training camp. He's checking these guys out. I've been following his reports. John, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Man, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It just the exciting time of year right now. I mean, just you can feel it in the air. Everybody's excited. It's just, I can't wait. There's so much positivity going on right now. There's all these young players, and while statistically speaking, not all of them are going to be able to be successful in their rookie year, it just looks like this draft class is going to be a super solid class.
Yeah, I mean, you get the feeling from that. Not everybody really understood the pick of Ryan Ramczyk, when it went down at 32, but obviously you get the injury to Ron Armstead, and then suddenly you're thinking, oh, well, this guy's going to be smart, and maybe these guys know what they're doing a little bit in the front office. But Marshawn Lattimore is a guy that really stands out to me. Him and Marcus Williams on the defensive side of the ball, they're in that secondary spot. I mean, they're talking – getting a lot of second-team reps on defense, but, the thing is they're making some plays. Particularly I've been looking at Lattimore, trying to look at him a lot more in depth. He's made some really good plays. He's had some struggles, I guess you could say, but that's a rookie in a sense. But, I think overall between that and Alvin Kamara, who is just electrifying every time he touches the ball, and just he's going to be so intriguing to see how Sean Payton uses him in the offense.
I was thinking when they drafted Kamara. Now, I'm not going to say that I knew a lot about him prior to the draft, but he is the position, the satellite back that I felt this offense has been missing. It's been filled by Tavares Cadet over the last couple of years. Prior to that, it was Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles. And we've been missing that element of the game that stretches the field horizontally to open up seams for the other guys, like tight ends, seam routes, and the things that have made this offense more successful in the past.
Yeah, I mean, whether you refer to him as a joker back, a third down back, an all-purpose back, whatever you want to call it, the Saints have they've missed that since Darren Sproles. They figured that C.J. Spiller is going to be the next best thing, but injuries obviously had that happen, and they just never got his feet under him, so to speak. And you got Tavares Cadet, who, fans kind of have a varying opinion on. And you figure he can come in. He did put up some good things last season, but still he missed that pop. And I think that's where Kamara comes in to play, just for the fact that they can use him in different roles. I mean, it's not just something out of the backfield. It's not just going to be a screen play. It's not going to be just a wheel route. You can use him in punt return game, the kick return game. They've tried, both of those aspects. And then I think you can line him up in the slot. I mean, there's a variety of looks that you can get with Kamara, and I think they're going to be able to figure out those chess matches as the season rolls on.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Tavares Cadet. Solid player. He's not a guy that can't play. It's just he lacks an additional gear, the big play ability. And in this offense, when that position, the satellite back, has been an impact player, the offense was much more competitive, much more explosive. And I think that's something that Kamara can bring that Cadet just really didn't have. But to switch gears just a little bit, I want to talk about this year's camp beast. Coleman is on fire.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no denying it. He's been making some plays. It was back-to-back days that we were there, and you know, Coleman makes a good move on Bro and on a seam route near the sidelines, and he holds in a touchdown, and then, you know, the next day he does it again. And look, I mean, you know, I think this is the thing with training camp, because, look, you obviously followed the Saints enough. You know these training camp beasts are going to come out. You know all this hype and hoopla, and everybody's going to draw their own conclusions based off of just a couple of days at camp. And I think the litmus test is really in the preseason when they really start to put things together and not going against each other. But look, you can't ignore what Brian and Coleman has been able to do. And he knows the pressure's on. And, you know, for me, one of my biggest observations from training camp is the return of Curtis Johnson. It is so, I think, underrated for this team, but he's bringing such intensity to that wide receiver group. And it's not just with the younger guys, it's with everybody. So if Michael Thomas messes up, you better believe Curtis Johnson's in his ear ripping him a new one. And same thing with Willie Snead. It's been with Ted Ginn Jr. I mean, they just bring a certain difference to them that I don't think this receiver group has had. And it's a scary thought, because we're talking about a Saints offense that has been it tops in the league, you know, ever since Sean Payton got on the scene.
Absolutely. And you mentioned this, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about Corey Fuller, but I think that's alluding to what you were saying. It's not just the new guys. Corey Fuller is playing great football, and he's a guy that we acquired last year from the Detroit Lions off of their practice squad. But you're right. Willie Snead has played exceptional. You see Thomas leaving off where he started last year. The problem that you worry about when it's a training camp practice is that these guys are going up against our defensive backs, which makes you question, you know, are we really improved on the back end? And then recently we have two injuries. Bro goes down with a injury that we're not quite sure about what it is. And then Lattimore leaves practice, the last padded practice, a couple of days ago. Have you heard anything about these guys?
Not particularly. I mean, Bro's out there at practice today. He's not participating, but he's at least there. But I know we had a little trouble spotting Lattimore. But, you know, hopefully it's nothing crazy, nothing routine. But at the same time, this is the Saints, and I think a lot of fans are expecting it, you know, because you have these high hopes and anticipations, and then, you know, you have some of the injuries, and, you know, with, say, Tata being waived and sprained his MCL, I mean, those things are just going to happen. But I tell you, the depth on this team is a lot better, and maybe arguably one of the best that this team has ever had. And, I mean, you look across the roster, even as a secondary, Lattimore and Bro, obviously you figured that might be the first and second corner, but, you know, P.J. Williams has been taking first-team reps, but he's in there. King Crawley's been looking pretty good. Devontae Harris has made some plays. You got Arthur Millett, and, you know, the undrafted free agent that you're still wondering what you get out of him, and you got Sterling Moore back to the equation. But, you know, last year was a real fluke. Oh, and we didn't even talk about Damian Swan. So, you know, if this team can stay healthy, and I think that's the big thing is the what if for this Saints team heading into this year, then I think they have a lot better situation on their hands than they did last year.
Outstanding. I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He's out at Saints camp. He's been following these guys. Check out his work. It's good stuff. I've been following him for a couple of years. John, something breaking news from yesterday is Orlando Franklin cut, waived. Do you have any thoughts on that? I was really surprised, because to me, he's a solid starting level offensive lineman, can play a little tackle, can play a little guard. I just found it, the timing of it, to be really suspect.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts and theories, but, you know, the biggest thing is he was excited there. We talked with him after practice. He said he'll do wherever, you know, go wherever the Saints need. He said he can do left guard, right tackle. You know, he was with the second team in the left guard spot. You know, he did make a comment talking about his knee, having a knee procedure done in the offseason about January. But he said he was fully go, you know, ready to go for it and everything, and wanting to help out. But obviously the Saints had other plans. You know, I guess it's a little bit head-scratching. They bring in another running back of all things. But they did bring in a linebacker for the loss of Tauto. So I don't know. I was with you. I was thinking that he would bring a different element and at least provide some good quality depth. But, you know, Senyo Calamete is out there back at training camp, you know, figuring out that center position that's been looking pretty rough lately with exactly. a lot of bad snaps. So maybe they have a good plan in place. I figured they would have cut somebody else before him, but, you know, that's just how training camp rolls.
Absolutely. Hey, John, why don't you share with our listeners your Twitter account, so if those of people out there that don't follow you can get some of this good Saints information that you provide for us every day.
Sure, happy to. It's John J. Hendricks. Exactly how it sounds, not to be confused with Jimmy, no relation, but it's spelled the same exact way.
All right, outstanding. Man, John, thank you so much for coming in with us and spending a few minutes giving us your thoughts on Saints camp. And hopefully if you have some time in the future during camp, we'd like to get you on a couple more times and get your insight.
Sure, man, I'd love to.
All right, that's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. We'll be right back.
BS and Beer, biggest Beyonce's butt during the Super Bowl halftime show.
That's big stuff right there. And speaking of big stuff, I got Chris Landry here with me. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew here at the SEC Spub, where the SEC Spub. You like that, Chris?
I do.
I'm professional, bro. What you get here is quality broadcasting.
Well, anybody can have a pub, but a spub, that to me... That sets you apart.
That you got to be special. But I tell you what, it's been a great show. Man, I appreciate your insight, and I look forward to this being part of our Thursday. Now, you're going to join us, and I think it's going to be great because you're going to get to join me, Heath, and Tomas. We have so much fun. But on Thursdays, this is going to be me and you, man, and this is how it's going to be. But do you have any final thoughts about this week's training camp, some Saints ideas, anything you want to share with everybody?
You know, a lot of it in this first week, it's fundamentals and it's a stage of building. It's kind of like building blocks. Think about taking the next rung up on the ladder. And this is, to me, I'm very curious to see as we get towards preseason week. Remember, teams don't game plan for preseason. They don't game plan for opponents. But they do have a game plan of how they're going to play guys and how in situations. So I'm very curious to see how this defense develops. We talked a little bit about the offensive line and some of the shifts there and the problems at center and the snapping. That's what I want to watch and follow here the next week. It's baby steps this time of year. And we can all panic about how the finished product is going to look. It's too early to do that. So I'm very curious to see if they can take baby steps this week.
Absolutely, man. It's football season. Hey, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Go check it out. He has all kinds of big stuff that he's working on right now, and I'm working with him. We got Saints content on LandryFootball.com at no cost. It's free. It's free stuff that you can go check out. And if you like the content, you can find all kind of stuff, give you an advantage in your fantasy league. It's just the place to go to get that kind of information if you're looking for in-depth, not opinions, but facts and evaluations. Place to go. Chris, we'll talk during next week's midweek show.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
I also want to thank John Hendricks of Canal Street Chronicles and the SEC Pub for sponsoring us. So for Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, and also for Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, I'm Dave Romero, and you've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.